Good morning, everybody. As you are well aware, we are going through changes here, and we have unfortunately or fortunately not been afraid of making some tough and difficult decisions. This one was the hardest one so far, simply because not only was Kevin fairly new here, but Kevin and I go back a long way. But it was an important decision because we got to get everybody on the same page at TFC. And Kevin and us had some differences of opinion on direction. And over the last few weeks, we realized it was best to ultimately part ways in order to try to get everyone on the same page here. And we decided to do that yesterday and move on. And so we will begin the search for a new GM, and in fact have begun that search already. And we're going to try to fill that role as quickly as possible, but we won't rush it. We will wait till we find the right person and then move on from there. I have nothing but good things to say about Kevin. He did a yeoman's job here on cleaning up bad contracts and giving us a chance to build going forward without some of the heavy burden and the lack of cap space that we've been dealing with for a while here. And so he did a lot of good things, and clearly that was the best gift that he will give back to us and to the next general manager, is a lot more flexibility and freedom to go in the direction that we all want to go in. So I'm grateful to Kevin. I am appreciative for his time here, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Thank you, Tim. Patrick, at this point, we can open up to media questions.
Certainly. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. At any time, you may cancel the question with the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a pause while participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Neil Davidson from the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Morning, Tim. A two-part question. One, you mentioned differences of opinion with Kevin. Could you give us an example of what the differences were?
I think philosophically, Kevin and us agree on the four major points and areas of building a team: an academy and development from within, drafting, trading within Major League Soccer, and then DPs. But within those four, I think there was a difference from within the club and the people responsible for not only those decisions but the implementation of those decisions. And the one thing I know is you're not going to have success if you don't have everyone seeing the world the same way. So philosophically, there was no difference of opinion on the four building points, but there was a difference of opinion on implementation, and I had to get everybody on the same page. And so thus changes.
And my follow-up, if I may, have there been any other changes? Earl Cochran, Pat Onstad, they were involved in player personnel decisions. Are they still with the club?
Good question, Neil. So Earl is no longer with the club. We released him yesterday afternoon. And with Pat, he will no longer be in his role that he's currently in with the club. The new GM will build their staff as they see fit to make sure everybody's on the same page. But Pat may have a role going forward in a different specific part of Toronto FC and where we're headed.
Just finally, any other personnel changes in the club?
No, those are the ones we were focused on yesterday.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from John Molinaro from Sportsnet. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Good morning. Thank you for doing this. Why not give Kevin more time? I mean, just playing devil's advocate here, you've only been in your position since June 30th, so it seems a relatively like short period of time and a short leash that you've given him. Why not let him finish out the year?
It's a good question, John, and by the way, that was my intention. I wanted to try to deal with Toronto FC at the end of their season. One, we have other things that we're dealing with here, as you guys know. And two, I didn't want to have to come in ultimately in the middle or at the end of their season and disrupt them and interfere with the coach and the players and what they're trying to do to end the season on a good note. But that said, some of the differences in direction relate to decisions that need to be made in the near future. And those decisions are going to be absolutely critical to the future success of this organization. And what I wouldn't do, and I couldn't do, is if I knew I was going to make changes, and I knew in the last few weeks we were going to have to make this change, I didn't want to put the club in a situation where decisions were still being made that may not have been unanimous and a consensus with all involved. And in addition to that, I knew that we wanted to find the right person that could come in and make those decisions and build the staff in advance of those decisions instead of trying to do everything on the fly come January. And so soccer's unique. We have windows. And if we're looking for transfers, and in particular international transfers during those windows, our next window is in January. And I believe we need to get to work today on the window for January. I don't think you could start that January 1st. I think you conclude that January 1st. And that means that whether it be the direction or the philosophy or the specific negotiations, it doesn't make sense to me to have one person chasing and another person closing. That would not have helped our purpose.
And a quick follow-up, if I may, Tim. What is the status of Ryan Nelson? Obviously, he was hired by Kevin. Why, I assume he's still with the club, why retain Ryan and why not sort of make it a full clean slate, full clean sweep?
Well, I've spent time with Ryan. I spent a lot of time with Ryan, and I spent time with Kevin. And so when we made the changes we made, it was with interaction with Ryan, and unfortunately or fortunately, again, a judgment as to where we stood with him. And I'm comfortable with Ryan. He will be our coach next year. Ryan and I have spent a lot of time in the last week beginning to think through how we fill in the boxes that are necessary for us to be a great club. Ryan and I share the same philosophy and vision for where we want to go with the club, and we share in the same view of how we fill in the holes that we have from a development standpoint, from a team standpoint. So I'm supportive of Ryan. He will be here next year, and I believe he sees the world the same way we do.
Cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. The next question is from Kurt Larson from Toronto Sun. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for doing this. How unusual is it for maybe a head coach like Ryan to philosophically disagree with the man who hired him, Kevin? I mean, if you're retaining Ryan, then is that to say that he wasn't, you know, close to on the same page as Kevin was?
Well, the good thing about Toronto is that there's a lot of smart guys in the media here that get paid to go debate this, and I'll let you guys do that. I'm not going to get into where the differences of opinion were between our organization and Kevin. What I will say is this: we vented Ryan. We had to make a decision on Ryan as well. And what I'm certain of is that the way that we feel we need to go as an organization, and the way we need to go fill in our blanks and our boxes here in order to have a team that's capable of winning, Ryan sees the world exactly the way we do. Is it unusual that ultimately the guy that hired him doesn't see the world the same way we do? Yes. But at the end of the day, that's what created the need to make a decision now. That said, I do not again, Kevin did a lot of good things here, including getting rid of a lot of burdensome contracts and freeing up cap space and allocation money going forward. He also hired Ryan, and I think, again, we have to go through a process of training wheels with a new coach, and we certainly have done that, and there has been a learning curve for Ryan. But I think Kevin was right. Ryan is going to be a good coach, and I think he's on his way. And as the season goes along, he's gotten better. He's learned more. And I think in the last few weeks, he's learned a lot more. So I'm comfortable with Ryan. I believe he deserves a chance. And I believe at the end of the day that it's an uncomfortable situation for Ryan and for Kevin because he was Kevin's choice. But they both handled it with great diplomacy, and they've done, in my world, we did not get this, this situation did not develop into a he said, she said. There was not a rift or a personality conflict, and that's a good thing. They're, although this is not a fun process, I must tell you, and again, this is the hardest one so far for me because I go back a ways with Kevin. But it's a process we had to do, tough decision we had to make, and it was handled by all parties in a very good way. So I'm very appreciative of Kevin's character and his professionalism here, and I would say the same about Ryan and the way he handled the difficult situation.
Thanks. Just to follow up, for the GM search, are you looking for somebody, you know, that has MLS experience? And when you find that person, they're obviously going to have to agree with you on one thing, and that's Ryan. Or will they have, you know, the ability to eventually replace Ryan or replace him before the season?
Again, all good questions, Kurt. So let me start with what we're looking for. I think the league's changing. It's growing up. It's much more competitive. There are a lot of good teams. There are a lot more teams that want to win the MLS Cup. And so I've seen the evolution of the league and the maturity of the league. And I think that also calls for us to learn how to grow in the scope and the requirements of a general manager going forward. And I think one of the unique aspects of Major League Soccer is the cap and learning how to balance the cap, manage the cap. I say this in a nice way, exploit the cap. Managing your money, managing your contracts, working with the other general managers on a daily basis, trying to find those teams that have cap issues and take advantage of those opportunities. Those are all unique traits that become more and more apparent. And I think we'll steal a page from the NBA book here. And whoever we bring in will be a one of the disciplines and scope they'll have as a capologist. One of the disciplines and scope we're going to want to create here is analytical on our players and our evaluation going forward. What we ask out of them, leading to your second question, Kurt, is yes, they got to inherit our decision on Ryan, but we also cleaned out some other situations here so that they could have a clean slate and put their own staff together, and we will expect them to do that. We don't, and I don't want to be the GM. We don't have time for that. We will be involved on the DP. I would say that our involvement on big contracts and big commitments on behalf of our owners, and our owners are committed. They've done their part here. That wasn't the issue. But we will be involved on trying to find the right DPs and trying to make the right deals. But the rest of it, especially finding somebody with a strength towards getting ahead of where this league is going to, on understanding the cap, on understanding trades, on understanding the collective bargaining agreement, and on understanding how to maneuver within Major League Soccer so that that becomes an advantage for us, that's going to be a high priority going forwards.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you. As a reminder, you may press star 1 if you have a question. The next question is from Anthony Tatera from Red Card Soccer Show. Please go ahead.
Tim, good morning and welcome to Toronto.
Thanks, Anthony.
Tim, Montreal Impact are battling for an MLS title. They've got three world-class Italian players. In the city of Toronto is the largest population of Italians residing outside of Italy. Are you committed to try and look to bring a quality Italian DP player here?
Yes.
Okay, great. Quick answer. Love that. And then the follow-up is this, Tim. The grassroots level, youth coaches, youth presidents have expressed in the last couple of years, the TFC has not been out to look at quality young Canadian talent and also young Canadian coaches that are succeeding. As an example, Sashel Sarowski, University of Maryland head coach, who has produced many U.S. players. Are you going to open the door to more Canadian talent? And thank you.
You're welcome, Anthony. Again, this should not be seen as in any way a statement about what we did or didn't do in the last year or two, so it's not a shot at Kevin, because I am extremely respectful of Kevin. And I think also you guys would acknowledge we've been through a few hirings and firings here, and I'm more dedicated to making sure that these don't get negative or personal. So this will always be a conversation and a discussion as it relates to our changes in a positive way. But I mentioned the four pillars that we need to build upon. The academy and development, it is absolutely critical that homegrown talent become as high a priority as we have here. It was where I came from with LA. Chris Klein did a phenomenal job of bringing in ex-players like Pete Bienes, that ultimately are now involved in that academy and those teams and the development part of those teams and the homegrown talent. They have two players on their roster today that are significant contributing and starting. And so I believe that as you look at those four pillars, we had to double down on our commitment to growing some of the players and filling some of those boxes from within. Within a cap world that we live in, you are not going to solve our problems by DPs. You have to have great development from within, like we do with our midfielder. And by the way, we have two very good players that are on this team that show the opportunity to find local players in Ontario and Toronto that we have an opportunity to grow into being significant contributors to this team. And we're going to need a few more if we're going to be successful. So, yes, that is as high a priority as a DP, our two DPs, and we understand the only way we're going to be successful is if we're good at all four, not three of the four.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you. The next question is from Neil Davidson from the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Tim, my recollection is that you have said that you think the time is right to bring in a marquee designated player. Ryan has said in the past that he believes it's not worth bringing in such a player unless he has the supporting cast. Have you, the two of you, changed your opinion somewhat? They seem to be slightly different, or do you think that we're now at the stage to bring in? Doesn't seem like it.
Well, ironically, one of the good things Kevin's done, and I'm speaking a little bit for Ryan here, but yes, this has been a large part of the conversation with all involved in the last few weeks, including Ryan and I. I believe with the allocation money we have and with the cap opportunities we have, we have a fair amount of money available to us now from a cap standpoint, as well as a pretty good understanding of some opportunities out there from within the league next year. We are beginning to figure out of all the boxes we have, how many of those can be filled from development and academy, how many of those can be filled from MLS and trades, how many of those can be filled from draft and draft picks and the development of those young players, and finally, how many can be filled from DPs. And I would say that Ryan and I are on the same page that in the January window, that is a good time for us to be filling in two of the boxes with DPs, and we're going to. And that's not the last two boxes, but when you look at the other boxes, we do feel we could now fill in with our allocation monies and our excess cap monies from MLS trades and one or two other young players that come from the draft or development. We do believe that we could be looking at a team next year that, like Montreal, like Vancouver, and like Portland, can be competitive. And so Ryan and I are not only 100% on the same page on this January window and what we're looking for, the positions we're looking for. We have had very specific conversations about targets. And the last piece I'll add is we're not waiting for January. We will be over in Europe soon, and we already have had conversations with teams and agents so that we understand what's out there, who we want, and how they fit into the rest of Ryan's team. So Ryan is helping and leading the charge on identifying players that he wants. And they are DPs, and they are marquee DPs, and he's anxious and excited about that. There is zero disagreement on now's the time. And the last point I'll add is, let me remind you again, these guys may be guys we could get in January, or these may be players that we make the deal in January and see them after the World Cup. We're open to either, because we will be patient if we could find the right guys. But this is about finding the right players for our team and for our coach. And one thing I'm certain of, because this has been the largest topic of conversation between Ryan and I, we absolutely are 100% on the same page on the target, the kind of players he wants, the list of players we'd like to go talk to, and our confidence that we're going to find one or two of these guys in January, even if it means they may not come till after the World Cup.
And if I can follow up, there's been a sense this season, at least from where I stand, that talk is cheap with Toronto FC. There's been a lot of promises about players coming, a lot of talk about timing, things happening imminently that never happened. Is there going to be a culture change in terms of what comes out of the club voice?
Yeah, I guess, Neil, the example I give you is what we announced today in the news release, which is we're going back to the season ticket holders here later this week and next week, and what we're telling them is you can reserve your seats for next year, but don't pay us, and don't pay us till January, and I'm done with spinning. I'm done with, you know, we are not going to go hire the president of a English Premier League to become the president and general manager of this team. This is not about flash or about spin. We got to put we got to just roll up our sleeves here and quietly go out and get our job done. And so what we're telling the season ticket holders is that we'll go back to them in January and bill them then. And by then, we will have done what we have to do, and they will hold us accountable and say, I like what you did, I'm in. Or if we fail here, we're going to have a mass exodus, and we get it. And we're okay with that, all of us. We will put our feet to the fire here. We already have, Neil, remember, we have the hardest part of this, which is our owners gave us the cash. Now what we have to do is figure out the right way to go out and fill those holes in. And I don't want to sit around and build a marketing campaign around, we're going to go do this, trust us. I'd rather go back to everyone and say, keep your money till January, and then we'll come calling. And between now and then, we better do a good job, because I don't think a marketing campaign is going to cut it this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Kurt Larson from the Toronto Sun. Please go ahead.
Hi, just staying on the subject of season seat holders. There's a lot of talk circulating just of whether or not the club is going to raise prices for next year on season seat holders. And then just a second question to that is there's also concerns that a football team might one day play at BMO Field. Can you kind of quash those concerns today, Tim?
No. One, believe it or not, on the first one, I don't know what our folks have decided on that one, but I'm sure that'll be part of our communication going out to the season ticket holders later this week, early next week. So I did not get involved in that conversation yet because I was preoccupied with the task at hand, which is get the course straight, get everybody on the same page, define what it is we need to do. And I will admit, I did get involved with the folks on the new policy of we'll bill you in January. That was an initiative that I worked with our guys on to implement. But on the pricing, I'm not avoiding the question. I just don't know the answer. But I will assure you that'll be part of whatever communication we send out to the season ticket holders here in the next week. As to football, this was addressed when we met with some of the supporters last week, and we're going to continue to go out and meet with the different supporter groups so they make sure that we're hands-on. I'm going to go out Sunday and meet with the season ticket holders at the picnic that they're having for them. So we're going to stand front and center and look them in the eye and communicate here, good, bad, and indifferent. We deserve it. But what we'll tell them on football is, look, we did football at StubHub in L.A. with different games, including the high school championships and a whole series of games there. We've done rugby on the field here now a few times this year at BMO. They do football down in Houston at the Dynamo Stadium. To me, it's not a debate about do you do football or not. It's a debate about if it's the CFL, can you design the stadium so that it grows for the CFL and shrinks back down to its current intimacy for soccer? That's money, and it requires cash, and we're trying to figure out what that means. But we clearly understand and would never think of taking the stadium, ruining the intimacy of a MLS game by building it in a static setup for only CFL and then having huge amounts of gaps and space between the fans and the pitch. So we get the only way to think about this is the stadium's going to have to be able to move in and out, and the pitch is going to have to be scheduled in a way where you can't do football and a MLS game on the same weekend. There are ways to make it work. And so what we've told them is no decision's been made. Is it a conversation? Yes. It's been a conversation from day one that this idea was created that became BMO and MLS here in Toronto. And we're going to continue to look at it, but the commitment we're going to make is we will not ruin the intimacy of the viewing and the current setup for MLS, and we will do it in a way where we're not going to turn the field into dirt. And whether or not we can do that, it means we got to spend more money. To the credit of ownership, what they've told us is go look at it. They haven't approved it because we don't know what it is yet, and so we're still working on it. But I think what everyone ought to understand is, to me, it's not a debate of can you do other events there. We do other events there, including rugby, which is just as tough on a pitch as football, if not more so. And we find a way to make it work. To me, the debate is don't ruin the intimacy of a soccer game and have the same setup we have now. And, by the way, if you're going to do that, then can you guarantee us that the experience at a TFC game is going to get better, not worse? And what we've told them is we won't even look at this unless it includes upgrades to the current experience at MLS games at BMO Field. And that means, yeah, we're looking at a roof. Now, our owners haven't approved anything yet because we haven't taken anything back to them. So I don't think this is as far advanced as some people think it is. And it's just internally a process of trying to understand from an engineering standpoint, can we do it all? And from a cost standpoint, what does it mean? There's no decision that's been made, no decision we've asked for out of the owners. And this is right now at the information-only stage.
Can you say whether or not the club would ever even go, like, think about going back to turf? I mean, it was there once and they got rid of it, but it just seems like with all that, you know, whatever, 10, 11 games of CFL and soccer, that, you know, that would have to be an option. The field's just not going to be able to take it if it's grass.
Yeah, well, Kurt, what we are doing, let me try to answer this in a different way. We are now engaging the people in our organization that make these decisions and implement these visions to go out now and go look at all the other fields and stadiums in Major League Soccer. And as you know, what's happened is in the last 5 years, the league has dramatically changed as it relates to facilities, amenities for the fans and season ticket holders, and the new stadiums that have been built. So we took a whole group out to Kansas City to see that stadium recently. We have a group that's going to Portland. We're going to go look at Vancouver, and we're going to go look at Montreal. The group's already been to Red Bull in New York to see what they're looking at there. We are actively involved and now beginning to understand this league is changing quickly. And right now, BMO worked when we first began 8-9 years ago when we started building it. But today, we're going to have to change. And that means everything is in and under consideration. Nothing has been decided. And we're going to go do something we haven't done in a while, which is send all of our people out to begin to see the changes that are occurring, the new technology, the new roofs, the new fields and turfs, and then we're going to bring back best practices, put it all together, make sure from an engineering and design and a construction standpoint we could do it, and then go to our owners and see what level of capital they're willing to spend.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Kurt.
Patrick, we're going to have to just ask for one more question if we could here, please.
Certainly. The last question will be from Lee Godfrey from Gold TV Canada. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tim. I've got a twofold question for you, I guess. What's the timeline in trying to find the new GM and would someone that you worked with before in Los Angeles in Frank Yallop be on your radar and someone who's rebuilt the San Jose Earthquakes into the Supporters Shield champion?
So the timing is we're already in it. The good news is we get the league. We understand who's out there. I don't think we're going to do anything really dramatic and outside the box. We are looking for someone that has experience. We're not afraid of someone that's young and green. If you look at, again, the NBA model and look at what some of these teams have been doing like Philadelphia, there's a new kind of GM being created as it relates to capologists and the analytical skills. And so we're thinking outside the box a little bit, but it still is going to come from soccer. I think the other thing that's important to us is we like an organization that is full of people that have come from the sport, have played it on a collegiate level or a professional level or both, and we're going to try to have more of those types of individuals involved here. Is Frank somebody that we're talking to? Yeah. Well, we're talking to a lot of people, and I Frank and I know each other well. I have the distinct privilege of hiring Frank, firing Frank, and so Frank and I actually get along quite well. And I like Frank. Whether or not he's the right guy for the GM position, I don't know. What I will tell you is flat out, the only conversations we're having with anybody and everybody is about the GM position. They have to respect our decision and our support of Nelson and getting behind Ryan. And so that's the only restriction we're going to have on the GM besides the other qualities and traits we talked about and making sure they're on the same page as to how they view those four blocks of how we're going to build a championship team here.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Thanks, Lee. Thank you all. I'm sorry we had to cut it short. Hopefully we got everybody's questions answered. And I apologize that we're disrupting the flow here. Thought we were going to do this at the end of the year. But again, what we won't do here is we're not going to be afraid of making the tough decisions, and this one was one of them.